Hello and good afternoon on a Tuesday from downtown Tyler, Texas. This is Bill Allen coming to you, and it has been rainy and stormy here. We had some pretty serious wind last night, tornado sirens at times. I think there were some sighted. I know there was a lot of damage from wind, and so I hope that you have made it through safely. I hope that wherever you are, you are being safe, and it's wonderful to be able to spend a little bit of time in God's Word in the midst of all of those storms. Lots of storms in life happen. Some of them are the real types that are physical, like last night. And we even had some more serious winds today. Our electricity actually flashed here in our church building in downtown Tyler, but didn't go off, and I'm thankful for that. There are many that have their power still off in this Northeast Texas area. We were blessed to where ours flashed several times last night, then was out, but for only just a few minutes. So that was, we feel very blessed there. Again, the power of our God is pretty amazing, and we see His work in creation. We see His power in the storms and His love in the deliverance from the storms. And that's true in more ways than one. Today begins a transition time in our daily Bible reading. And these Facebook studies are based on that from the Daily Bible in chronological order, compiled by Eflagard Smith. We find ourselves now finally past the time of the devotional literature of Psalms, the longest book in the Bible, Proverbs, a great, great study, Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes, also attributed to King Solomon. And now we are going to be back into the history of the people of God and the kingdom of Israel. But this becomes the point in time where the kingdom divides. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, becomes king, and he is not very wise like his father was, and gives way to some bad counsel from some of his young buck friends instead of listening to the advice and counsel of the elders of the community and the nation, and it causes the kingdom to divide between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. King Saul it comes into play sometime around 1050 BC, and then he reigns for 40 years, and then King David becomes king, and the line of David, descendants of King David, continue to rule in the southern in Israel during the time of David and his son Solomon, and then afterwards, even after the kingdom divides in the southern kingdom that is called Judah. David and Solomon all reign 40 years each, and so 120 years of the United Kingdom, and that's where we pretty much pick up today in our Facebook studies. As we continue this reading from the very beginning of this month and the end of King Solomon's reign. And so sometime again around 930 or so, Solomon dies and his son Rehoboam becomes king. Rehoboam, the grandson of King David, the son of King Solomon, goes to the people to ask for some counsel. The southern kingdom, or the kingdom of Israel, is making Rehoboam their king, but they also send for Jeroboam, no relation, and just a confusing similar name, that's all. But they all go to King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who is the rightful king. And they come to him and they say, "You know, your father made it difficult for us. And we are wondering how you're going to play this." And Rehoboam answers and he says, "Well, go away for 3 days and then come back to me." And so in 1 Kings 12 and 2 Chronicles 10, Rehoboam goes to the elders and they say, "What do you think?" And they say, "Well, you know, if you will today be a servant to these people and give them a favorable answer and tell them you will treat them better than your father did, that you will be fair with them, they will always be your servants. They'll serve you forever." But Rehoboam, wasn't quite what he wanted to hear. And so he goes to the young men who had grown up with him, scripture says, and he asked them, "What do you think I should do? Lighten their yoke or make it heavier?" And they said, "These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" Well, it doesn't take a lot of wisdom to think, well, I wonder how the people are going to react to that. And exactly the way you're thinking they're going to react to that. The king goes back to them and he tells them those exact things. And they say, "Forget it. We're out." The northern tribes, remember, there were 12 tribes in Israel, including the tribe of Levi. But Levi was the priestly tribe, which was scattered throughout the nation of Israel. And so you had Ephraim and Manasseh, who were the two sons of Joseph, who became independent tribes. But you had 10 of those 12 tribes, not counting Levi, up in the northern part, and two of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin, in the southern part where Jerusalem was. Well, the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, said, "We're out. We're out. You're going to be this way, King Rehoboam. You're not going to be our king. We're gone." And they made Jeroboam their king, and the kingdom of Israel divided. Now, if you're noticing, if you're following along in the Daily Bible, then you notice how Ethelgard Smith does this, and I think it's very helpful. You have times in Israel where he speaks, the scriptures talks about what's going on in the northern kingdom of Israel, and you have Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah, which is the tribes that are faithful to the line of David, and they continue to follow King Rehoboam as their king. The northern tribes, they make Jeroboam their king, and this was to fulfill prophecy long before, when it was prophesied that Jeroboam would be a leader of 10 of the tribes of Israel, and it would cause a great division. And that's exactly what happens. The tribe of Judah and Benjamin are faithful to King David. And so Rehoboam gets set for a civil war, and that's exactly what's going to happen. But a prophet comes to them and says, "This is from the Lord. You're not going to win this." And so at that time, anyway, they leave and they go back to their tents in the southern tribes. And now we have two nations. We have the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah is faithful to the line of King David, with Rehoboam, David's son, as their king. Jerusalem is their capital. The palace is there. The temple that Solomon built, Rehoboam's father built, is there, and that's where they worship. And of course, the law is there. Everyone has the law, but not everyone follows it. And what happens when Jeroboam becomes king of the northern tribes and they set up their own kingdom of Israel? Jeroboam says, "If these people go back to Jerusalem to sacrifice and to observe the festivals according to the law, I'm going to lose them. They're going to love that. They're going to see Solomon's temple. They're going to go back to that way of life, and I'm not going to be king anymore." And so Jeroboam in 1 Kings 12, it says that he actually set up golden calves, one in Bethel and one in Dan. These are two of the southern and northern parts of the kingdom of Israel, the tribes in the northern part. And he tells them that this is who delivered you out of Egyptian bondage all those years ago. And he sets up shrines there. He appoints priests there. They set up their own system of festivals there. And it's telling that one of the terms that is used in this passage is of his own choosing. Jeroboam did this just of his own choosing. He picked out people to serve as priests, picked out the places for the gods. He picked out the months for the festivals, a month of his own choosing, it says. And this becomes the pattern for the northern kingdom of Israel. You can't find any good kings in the northern kingdom of Israel that are good long term, and not very many in the southern kingdom of Judah, but there are a few. Well, what does that look like? Who's going to follow the northern tribes away from God's will and God's word and the rightful king of God's people, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon? Well, the Levites who are scattered throughout the tribes, a lot of the Levites that are even in the northern tribes, they leave, and the priests do as well, and they go down to the south, back to Judah and Jerusalem. Because Jeroboam had basically fired them. He said, "No, you don't have to be a descendant of Levi to be a special caretaker of the worship as the Levites were. You don't have to be a descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses, to be a priest as the law required." In this case, Jeroboam set up his own, and so many of the priests and Levites, they left. Those who were in the northern tribe, 2 Chronicles 11 says, those from every tribe of Israel, the northern kingdom, who set their hearts on seeking the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, following the ways of David and Solomon during this time. Well, and so now it's set, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Ultimately, the northern kingdom of Israel would have its capital, city of Samaria. And that'll come into play in quite a while ahead, almost 200 years, when the northern tribes are carried away into captivity at the hands of the Assyrians. And they bring some people back to intermingle with the people of the northern tribes, and those people become the Samaritans, based on the capital city of Samaria of this northern tribe. In 1 Kings 13, in Bethel, one of the places where Jeroboam had set up worship, by the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. By the word of the Lord, he cried out against the altar, "Altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you." King Josiah will be a descendant of King David, a king in Jerusalem of the southern kingdom of Judah, and ultimately he will fulfill that prophecy. And that will happen after the northern tribes are carried off into captivity, and just before the southern tribes are carried off into captivity, but not to Assyria, but to Babylon. Lots of stories going back and forth here in this reading. It's not going to be as easy reading as the Proverbs were, for example, or the wonderful Psalms were. But this reading is going to talk a lot about battles and wars and kings and deceit and assassinations. There's a lot here that goes on, but that is the history of the people of Israel during this time. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, they're all Israelites. They're all descendants of Abraham, and yet they're fighting against each other. And that is a sad, sad thing. Division is a horrible thing. And we see it here in our own country, in Civil War days. We see it here with the lines less clearly drawn in our day and time, but we certainly see it in the nation of Israel and Judah in this time. In the 10th century BC, starting with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, around 930 BC. This is a horrible, horrible time. Well, the inspired word continues. We're going to get to Elijah this afternoon. But before we get there, there are some stories to tell about Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Jeroboam loses power. There's a prophet that comes by the name of Ahijah. And Ahijah prophesies that Jeroboam will be killed. He says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says in 1 Kings 14. I raised you up from among the people and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, But you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes, generally speaking. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made for yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have aroused my anger and turned your back on me. Because of this, I am going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. And from here on out, the people of God, the kings, who will be judged as being evil, will be judged based on how they compared to Jeroboam. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, much like their ancestor or their earlier king Jeroboam did. It's interesting the way this plays out. God turns to Jeroboam and uses him to divide the kingdom because of Rehoboam's ill decisions and sinful, selfish pride. But it seems that if Jeroboam had followed the Lord and had decided to be faithful, that he would have continued to be king. But that's not what happened. Jeroboam and his house, the house of Jeroboam, you know, in the southern kingdom of Judah, the house of David still stands. It is still a descendant of David that will be on the throne in Judah in Solomon's grand temple and palace that David and others have built. That will be the case until 586 BC, when that is all destroyed by the Babylonians. But even after that, when the exiles return, there are still descendants of King David who take the lead, but not in the northern tribes, not in the northern kingdom of Israel. Rehoboam fortifies Judah, builds up towns such as Bethlehem, Hebron. Those are all very important towns that we hear from when we think about Bible history, important things that happened there, such as the birth of Christ in the city of Bethlehem. Rehoboam appointed Abijah, his son, as crown prince among his other brothers, and he wants to make him king, and ultimately Abijah will become king and will prove to be, to some extent, perhaps more righteous than his father. Scripture says that Rehoboam did evil in his heart and did not seek the Lord and led his people Judah into the same thing. And so God rejected Rehoboam as king, and ultimately his son becomes king. Scripture gives this little footnote, though, in 1 Kings 4, or in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 12. It says, there was some good in Judah. Rehoboam ultimately humbles himself, and God's word says there was some good in Judah, but there continues to be war between Rehoboam in the south and Jeroboam in the north, between the nations of Judah and Israel. And so Rehoboam ultimately dies. His son Abijah becomes king, and Abijah is a righteous man, and he calls out to Jeroboam. And he says this, don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant? And that's true. Yet Jeroboam, son of Nebat, an official of Solomon, son of David, and that's also was true. He was an official under King Solomon, David's father, rebelled against his master. Some worthless scoundrels gathered around him and opposed Rehoboam, David's son, David's grandson, the son of Solomon, when he was young and indecisive and not strong enough to resist them. Well, Abijah has a little bit better impression of his father, perhaps, than others might. And now you plan to resist the kingdom of the Lord, he tells Jeroboam, which is in the hands of David's descendants. You are indeed a vast army and have with you the golden calves that Jeroboam made to you to be your gods. But didn't you drive out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and make priests of your own, as the peoples of other lands do? Whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may become a priest of what are not gods. Anybody that has the sacrificial animals can come, and they can become a priest of these golden calves that aren't gods at all, he says. But then King Abijah says this, as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. The priests who serve the Lord are sons of Aaron, and the Levites assist them. Every morning and evening, they present burnt offerings and fragrant incense to the Lord, just as the law required. They set out the bread on the ceremonially clean table and light the lamps on the gold lampstand every evening, all the great things in Solomon's temple. We are observing the requirements of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. God is with us, King Abijah says, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah in Jerusalem. God is with us. He is our leader. His priests with their trumpets will sound the battle cry against you. People of Israel, do not fight against the Lord, the God of your ancestors, for you will not succeed. With strong, strong words and the power of the Lord, the southern kingdom of Judah and King Abijah are able to be victorious over the much more numerous northern tribes of Israel. And scripture says the Israelites were subdued on that occasion, and the people of Judah were victorious because they relied on the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Unfortunately, they don't always do that. Abijah is a sinful man as well, but the scripture says that God continued to remember him and his descendants because of David, the king that was described as a man after God's own heart. Scripture says, for David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. That horrible, horrible story of David's sin with Uriah and his wife Bathsheba. Abijah dies, and now we are looking on June the 3rd, and during this time, the kingdoms have been divided for about 25 years, and now they are at war with each other, and Judah is blessed with some good leaders, such as Abijah, who wasn't perfect, but was certainly better than Jeroboam, and Asa, his son Jehoshaphat. These are good kings who were mostly faithful to God, and they bring about reforms in the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel, however, the northern kingdom, just can't find any good kings there anywhere. And it is something that continues on until the northern kingdom is finally destroyed and taken into captivity by the Assyrians. Asa in 2 Chronicles 14, King Asa did what was good. This is in Judah, the southern kingdom, a descendant of King David. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places. High places are places of idol worship, when you read that. Smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. Asherah was a female god, a goddess of the people of the land, the pagans, the Babylonians. And the sacred stones were used in their worship as worship places and practices. He commanded King Asa, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. Just as Moses had said so long before this, that the people, if they would be obedient, God would look out for them and he would provide for them. And now King Asa is finding that to be true. In Israel, the northern kingdom, Jeroboam dies, and his son Nadab succeeds him as king. But he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the ways of his father, Jeroboam, and committing his sins. And so Baasha, from the tribe of Issachar, plots against Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, and kills him and becomes king in his place. And Jeroboam's family is all killed. And this, scripture says, happened because of the sins Jeroboam had committed, and it caused Israel to commit when he divided the kingdom and took the tribes for himself and failed to honor God in that. And so Baasha becomes king, and he reigns 24 years, 1 Kings 15 says, in Tirzah. Ultimately, the capital would become Samaria of the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom of Judah, King Asa continues to look to God and to worship the Lord. But however, again, it's not perfectly followed. And so a prophet comes to King Asa, Azariah, in 2 Chronicles 15, And he says, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The same warnings that have been consistent from the time of Moses to Joshua, and even still now, and a message that the prophets, when they come up, and it's happening soon with Elijah, they will hear once again that God is with them when they are faithful to him, but turns away from them when they are not. As you're reading this, you realize that there are some similarities in these stories. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, earlier 1 and 2 Samuel. Chronicles and Kings especially have a lot of similarity. And so the way Eflagard Smith does it, you can read in bold which ones he's reading from. And then the light print is the other passages that are parallel. We'll see that again in the time of the Gospels when we're reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I hate to discourage you, that's not going to happen till October. Yes, we still have a few months to go before we get to the New Testament. King Asa, when he heard this warning from the prophet Azariah, he repented and he removed the idols and he continued these reforms. And yet there were some places that he did not destroy that were places of idol worship. But scripture says his heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. What a great tribute to King Asa. He assembles all of Judah and Benjamin, the two southern tribes, and he called on the people from the northern tribes that were settling among them. Remember, many of them had come down at the division because they wanted to be faithful to the law and to the line of King David. He called on them to come, and they renewed the covenant before the Lord. That was a wonderful, wonderful moment. Baasha, king of Israel, threatens them, but Baasha is not going to be successful. And in Israel, there's a prophet by the name of Jehu, and he warns Baasha, and his words come to pass, that Baasha is not going to see his line of kings go. Like King David did, his line continued. Even though his son Solomon was not all that faithful at times, his grandson Rehoboam caused the division of the tribes, but the line of David continues in spite of that, to be on the throne in Jerusalem, in the palace King David built, and ultimately would continue until the Babylonians come years later. We see Baasha's family destroyed, and no longer is a descendant of Baasha, who was responsible for the death of Jeroboam and his line, no longer being king there. And so we see his family destroyed as well. Zimri, the descendant of Baasha, realizes that things are bad. He kills himself. And when he does, again, that prophecy is fulfilled. And Omri becomes king in the northern kingdom of Israel. He gains a lot of control and becomes king of Israel, and make Samaria the capital of Israel in the days of King Omri. King Omri, it says, did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had done. Everybody is measured in evil quality according to Jeroboam, who split the kingdom. When Omri dies, his son becomes king, and his son's name is Ahab. And you've heard of Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel is his wife. And they are reigning as king and queen in the northern kingdom of Israel in Samaria. And Ahab, this is what it says about Ahab in 1 Kings 21 and in chapter 16. There was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. Ahab provided opportunities for the people of Israel to worship false gods, and ultimately confronts even the prophet Elijah. And that'll be a fun story that we're going to read about on and mention on Thursday. Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, becomes king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and he followed the ways of his father Asa, and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not completely. He didn't destroy all the places of idol worship, but he, in his heart, he was a good king, and that's King Jehoshaphat. And so the southern kingdom of Judah began to prosper. Scripture says the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He did not consult the Baals, Baals, those were the false gods of the land, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. You have the Baals and the Asherahs, or the Ashtoreths, the male and female gods of the people, the pagans of the land. And they were constantly nuisances and difficulties and temptations for the people of God in Judah. Jehoshaphat in his days appointed the leaders of his people, and he called on them, the priests, to teach the word of the Lord. And scripture says in 2 Chronicles 17, they taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord. They went around to all the towns of Judah and taught the people. What a refreshing thing in the midst of such a difficult and dark time, the division of the kingdom. Still, you have a couple of righteous kings, King Asa and King Jehoshaphat, who try to take the word of the Lord to the people, King Jehoshaphat in this case. At that time, we're going to maybe call an end to our study today and look forward to hearing the great stories of Elijah and Elisha, the two prophets, very similar in name, I know, but Elijah comes first, and he's the one that has it out with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And then goes into a fit of depression. And that's, boy, that is important reading in the life of Elijah. And then when he gets into a chariot of fire and goes into heaven, Elisha takes his role as prophet and finds the power of Elijah, which is really the power of God. So now you see the history. It goes back to Abraham and the call of Abraham, roughly 2000 BC. 1500, Moses gets the law and the people after Egyptian bondage to the foot of Mount Sinai and receives the law. Ultimately, Joshua leads them across the Jordan River, and they begin to take the land that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Joshua divides the land up between the tribes. And then the judges come through, and they're regional leaders, primarily military leaders for the people of God. And when they clamor for a king, it is King Saul of the tribe of Benjamin that is the first king. He reigns 40 years and disobeys the Lord. And so King David becomes king, and he is appointed king and anointed king by Samuel the prophet. And he reigns 40 years, and then his son Solomon becomes king. And he reigns 40 years. And after that, it's what we've read about today, King Rehoboam, following bad counsel, seeks to make the people's lives harder instead of better. And they rebel. And 10 of the 12 tribes go north and make Jeroboam their king, ultimately Samaria their capital. And the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, faithful to the line of David, faithful to the line of King Rehoboam, and continue to serve him. And that's where we are right now. And from here, we're going to see lots of kings and lots of prophets. And we're going to begin on Thursday with the great, great stories of that wonderful prophet, the faithful man of God, Elijah. I hope that you have a good rest of your week, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday and continuing with this exciting history of the people of God, in the Old Testament. God bless.